Alex Wojcicki for FFA today, straight off the stage from the keynote speaker. I have Judson Lipley. Yeah, first of all, you just got done doing like an 8-minute dance.
I did.
How much fun was it to perform in front of an energetic crowd like FFA members?
It's about as good, without the disparaging comments towards other crowds, it's about as good as it gets to come out in front of 20,000+ students who are engaged, excited, and want to hear what you're going to say. And they want the content. They like the entertainment, and they love the entertainment, but they actually want some content too, which is nice to have people who are wanting to hear. Versus sometimes we might get in front of an audience that's maybe the whole high school and half of them are like, I don't want to hear anything this person has to say.
And that's what I was going to talk about, is you talked about this idea of evolving. Tell us your message about evolving.
Sure. I think what most people have a tendency to get caught up in is we have so much wants in life. Like, we see the big cars and the fancy houses and the perfect lives that get put on display, whether it's through social media or reality television that isn't reality, all those things, and we don't realize that it's a journey to get to those places, and those journeys usually are small incremental steps of continually getting better. And it's not about perfection, it's not about being the best, it's about incrementally getting better. And that's what the definition of evolution is. It's the next best state. So sometimes in life things just change naturally, and sometimes they're not a change for the better. But when something changes for the better, then we say that it evolved. And I think what happens is we forget that the most evolution we occur in life, the things that make us grow the most, are usually the things that are the hardest for us to deal with. And sometimes remembering that if we can get through this, if we can just keep putting one foot in front of the other and all the cliches we can think of, that when we get through that and we come out on the other side, we will be stronger for it.
Give us an example, a personal example of a time when you had to evolve to get something that you just wanted so bad.
So I'm a triathlete, so I decided several years ago that I wanted to try a triathlon. And a triathlon, I wanted to do a half Ironman, it's called. I didn't want to take the time to train for a full, so I wanted to do a half. So a half Ironman is a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike, and a 13.1-mile run, one right after the other. Now, if I would have just tried to go out and do a half Ironman from one day to the next, no way. I'd have probably hurt myself. Might have gotten sent to the hospital. Who knows what would happen? I probably wouldn't finished it. So I knew that it was going to be a process, that I was going to have to do small steps and get better and better and better until I could finally get to a point where I felt comfortable going out and doing that. And that's the same thing in life. We know what we want in the long run, but we sometimes forget that it's going to take some work to get there, and it might take some will to get through the things that are difficult along the way. Most people in life, they have really, really good on the want side of things, but they don't have the work and the will side of things. And that's where I think a lot of people get caught up in the, ooh, I want this, I want this, I want that, but they're not willing to work for it.
The theme for this year's convention is Just One. Talk about just one message that you hope folks take home from your presentation.
That life is a process, that it's not about a specific one thing in life. It's about growing and evolving consistently. And as long as you keep doing that, then life will keep getting better and better and better. Because unfortunately, we don't all have the same opportunities. We don't all start from the same spot. Some people start way in front. Some people have incredible talent. Some people don't have as much talent. Some people have great talent but aren't willing to work. And so it's kind of all, what do you want and what are you willing to do to get there? And so it's just one step after the other. Just one more step, just one more step, just one more step. And the next thing you know, you're at your goal, or you're at the top of the mountain, or you've achieved what it is you set out to achieve.
In the beginning of your message, you talked about being an influencer, and I think a lot of these members in this crowd want to be that influencer. How do they start, and where do they go from there?
Absolutely. You know, we see so many people who are social media influencers, YouTube influencers, and the word influence is kind of gotten out of hand, so to say. What people really want when they say that a lot of times is fame. They want to be famous. They want people to know who they are. And there's nothing wrong with fame as a byproduct of doing what you love and being authentic to who you are. But if all you're doing is seeking out fame, then you usually need to take a step back and start questioning what it is that you want from fame. Now, if you want to be a real influencer, I think the first step is to figure out who you are and what you think and what you believe. And as long as you remain authentic to that without forcing that opinion on other people, and by living your authenticity as opposed to preaching your authenticity, which I think, that's what I think happens a lot of times. We get in this hypocrisy world of people who preach one thing but then are living a different thing. And the people who really seem to have the most influence are the people who are talking about what it is they're actually doing. You know, in the whole of the cliches, you know, you got to walk the walk and talk the walk and walk the talk and all that stuff. So if you want to be an influencer, it starts off by finding something you're passionate about. And that could literally be, I'm passionate about towels, and I'm going to study towels and all the towels, and you will probably soon begin to influence people in the world of towels. And that's what I think is really difficult. People say they want to be an influencer, and say, who do you want to influence? Oh, everybody, everybody. I want to influence everybody. But everybody doesn't like all the same things. So if you figure out what it is you like and what you're passionate about, and you dive into that world, then you might become an influencer because you learn a lot about that world. And then who knows where it goes from there, because you might start filtering out and start becoming well-known or become much more of an influencer in other areas. Like Mike Rowe is a perfect example, who I know is a big friend of FFA. You know, Mike Rowe never set out to become famous. He never set out to become a huge influencer. He wanted to help bring to the front of people's attentions those people who work hard every single day in the jobs that people don't necessarily think about or want to do. And he has become a huge, huge influencer in the process.
Now, you're up on stage performing in front of thousands of people all the time. Give us a little bit of context of some of the struggles that you've had to overcome, because, you know, you go through struggles just like everybody else.
Absolutely. In fact, I think anyone that tells you that they don't go through struggles is really full of it. And I think the biggest struggle that you go through as a performer or as a speaker is, are people listening? You know, we get instant feedback, instant validation. So if I walk back out into the crowd, everyone's going to be like, that was amazing, that was great. And then I turn around and I leave here and I go somewhere next. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody cares who you are. And you can't be like, here, let me help you with life and things like that. So it's that kind of ups and downs and peaks and valleys. And our business, our industry is a peak and valley type thing. And so you're constantly questioning, am I good enough? Do people like what I'm saying? Do people want to continue to hear it? And then sometimes you get to a point too where you're not sure if your message resonates with the audience all the time. I mean, I'm older now. I'm 42. Oldest person in that audience is probably 18 at the most. So they don't have the same experiences that I have had in my life. So it's about, am I able to draw in enough reference points and enough examples that still are relevant to them? So that's a continual struggle that I have, is finding the reference points and the relevancy to remain relevant to that age group and that audience.
When was your aha moment when you said, being a motivational speaker, that's what I want to do?
It was actually in high school. So I was a big member of student council. So when I was in high school, I was very fortunate. I was a state student council president my senior year. And so I would be giving speeches and doing workshops. And I really got a lot of energy from doing that. And as I went through, and I have a journal entry from 11th grade that said, I want to be a professional speaker someday. I had no idea how I would do that, had no idea what the path would be, but that was always in the back of my head. So when I look back, I could see how I was laying the framework for that with most of the things that I was doing without recognizing that's what I was doing. I spoke anywhere and anywhere I had the possibility. When I got into college, I got involved in peer education and those things, and I would submit to present 6 different programs at a conference. Like, most people wouldn't even want to put in one, and I was putting in as many as they would let you put in. And anyone that got picked, I would go and I would present. So it was kind of really, really early on. I didn't think I would be able to do it right away. And then when I was in graduate school, I ran into somebody that I had hired once when I was in college and sat down and had a conversation with them. And through that conversation, I realized that the greatest thing about this industry of being a professional speaker is there is no barrier to entry. There is no formula. There is no, you have to do this, then this, then this. You just have to go do it. But that's also what makes it the most difficult thing, is there is no formula. There is no, oh, you just have to do this, this, and then you're in. So it's kind of nice because I am my own boss, but that also means I'm completely responsible for myself. I can't blame failure on anyone else.
Let's talk about, you know, you're up on stage. You've done it. You're there. You did this evolution of dance. I want to know, what's your favorite dance move?
It usually depends on the audience. So when it's a older audience, my favorite is probably either the Brady Bunch, Keep On Keeping On, or the Apache Jump On It. When it's a younger audience, they don't necessarily recognize those as much. So then when it gets to the newer stuff, I think it's fun to listen to them go crazy with Soulja Boy. And then now with Hotline Bling, when it gets to one's particular movement that came out of the video that. And that's what's so great about it is, you know, you can dance and do whatever to the music and people are like, oh, that's great. But when you do a move that's recognized by people who know what that is, then it connects like, oh, no, he didn't. He just did that move. So that's fun to hear that reaction from the crowd.
Well, Judson, as we wrap up this conversation, is there anything else that you want to get out to those FFA members?
I think the biggest thing I want people to take away is that struggle is not always a bad thing in life. And I didn't have enough time to really go into it. I also want to make sure that I'm not downplaying struggle. I'm not saying that if you're struggling and you feel like you need help, don't just say, oh, I can power through this. Because we really do need people, if they're really struggling, to go seek help, to ask for help, to reach out for whoever it is they possibly can reach out to. With that being said, there are some times when we also need to take responsibility to get through and work through those things and not just look for somebody else to solve the problem for us. And that's a hard place to be comfortable in, to realize, okay, this is something that I actually need help with, or this is something that I need to do on my own. Because so many times now people just, they do it for us. They take care of it. Oh, I can do this. Or somebody does this. Oh, well, come do this. And we don't grow and we don't get stronger if we don't keep challenging ourselves to get through those struggles. So part of it is recognizing that struggle isn't always necessarily the worst thing that's going on. Because if you are struggling and you maintain that power of choice and keep working to go after the things that you want, once you get through those things and once you get those things, you'll have a much better sense of accomplishment and you will have grown far more for it.
An inspiring message to so many. That was Judson Lipe. He was the keynote speaker here at the General Session for FFA at the 91st National FFA Convention and Expo. For FFA Today, I'm Alex Wojcicki reporting.